You're with us for the morning show. Millions of college students are in the throes of fall semester and faced with taking online courses as COVID rages on. We're getting tips on how to succeed in this environment. Davidson College's Crisis Initiative is tracking colleges' responses to the coronavirus. 44% of colleges are offering classes partially or fully online out of nearly 3,000 institutions surveyed. Are you a hands-on learner, or would you rather read or watch lectures to absorb material? How have you tried to adapt your learning style to the online model? We're at 800-642-1234. Conversation right here, 800-642-1234. Jamie Stimel is a mentor at Western Governors University, which has offered online degrees for more than 20 years. Jamie, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you.
Well, how important is the environment around us as we navigate these online courses each day? Our home setup, or maybe our dorm setup, how do we get this just right?
The most important thing is to set up a dedicated space for your studying. The one thing that, you know, college itself is a big commitment. And as soon as you shift to online, you also need discipline. And so the biggest thing is setting up some space, whether it's a dorm room, at home, some space that is dedicated to studying and only studying, because it will help you with that discipline, knowing when I'm in this space, I have to focus on what I'm learning.
Oh, because your brain goes to that desk or that chair and says, I know what I'm supposed to do here. Is there
Absolutely.
Something psychological going on?
Absolutely. You know, the thing is that it going to college is such a big commitment, and it does require some discipline in a traditional model to get up, go to class, and make sure that you're doing your homework and assignments in advance. When you shift to online, you don't necessarily have those physical reminders and those timelines. So you do have to increase your intentionality with your time and your discipline to know, here's when my assignments are due. If you're in a more flexible model like at WGU, then you set your own deadlines with a program mentor. And so it really does require you to commit and be intentional with your time.
And so how can we make sure our workspace is distraction-free? Because it can be so easy to just kind of drift off and suddenly you realize that you've really lost track of time.
Yes, definitely. The key is to find a space, and in you don't necessarily have to have a whole room. You could have a corner. You could have, you know, an end table or some space where you keep all of your learning materials, textbooks, laptop, and keep that space. But keep that space just your learning space. So if you are busy and cleaning, keep it just your learning space. Don't throw, you know, I don't know, toys from your kids or anything like that. You just have to keep it that space, because a clean learning space with a laptop, textbooks, notebooks is going to help you to be able to focus.
So what if you really miss ambiance, like the library or the study hall or that really favorite coffee shop where you would go and just be able to work because there was kind of like this ambiance around you that made you more focused? How do you recreate that at home?
You can absolutely recreate that at home. There's different websites with backdrops or songs or sounds that you could even play on your computer while you're learning. You can even turn on TVs. A lot of cable companies have options for you to put on where it looks like a background of a coffee shop, or if you like the music, or just that white noise of the people coming in and out ordering their drinks, or at the library, just kind of that low chatter of other people. You absolutely can recreate that through your computer, through your television. You know, I know there are some areas that if you, you know, you could even still go as long as you're, you know, wearing your proper PPE and whatnot. So there are definitely options.
How do you make sure that you stay focused on that lecture that is going on for more than an hour? It has been taped. It's online. How do you keep your focus on that online lecture?
One of the biggest things you can do with those online lectures, and one benefit of being at home that you don't have when you're in class, is you can take breaks. So if you start to notice, you know, if you're taking notes and things, but maybe start to notice that your mind is wandering, maybe you're starting to doze, pause it, get up, walk around, grab a drink, you know, grab a mint, you know, something to kind of re-alert your brain, and then sit back down and keep going.
We're talking with Jamie Stimel, who stays with us this hour. She's a mentor at the online college Western Governors University. Do you work remotely? What hacks have helped you focus and get more work done? What helps keep you motivated to learn despite not having a teacher physically in your space to hold you accountable? Join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up ahead with Jamie Stimel here on the Ideas Network. We're having a conversation about online college courses and how to make the most of virtual coursework on the morning show. Here, millions of students are in the midst of fall semester and really at a crossroads as schools shift to online courses as the virus spreads. Do you teach college students? Have you flipped the classroom where students learn new material on their own and class time online is reserved for discussions or projects? How is that going? Join in 800-642-1234. Jamie Stimel is a mentor at Western Governors University, and she's our guide. Jamie, what kind of a barrier does online learning put in the way of time management? Because it seems like time is so critical when you're in that online realm.
Time definitely is one of those things that we always overestimate and think that we have more than we really do. So the biggest thing with online learning is acknowledging that time is finite and being intentional with our time, developing some type of time management system, or even developing a daily calendar where you write out life commitments, work, family, kids, and then make sure you put time for school in there. Otherwise, you know, we get busy and the first thing we think is, oh, I can do my homework later. I'll do my homework later, and later never comes.
Yeah. And, you know, at our house, we have this massive whiteboard right now, and it lists each kid, each parent, every day of the week, who's got a Zoom when, who needs to be on what, you know, what class when. And it's like this master schedule, but we like to write it out with our hands and then kind of congregate at the board. So, I mean, it's almost like kind of this play by play. Does that kind of system work?
It does. Absolutely does. Something as simple as that works. You know, it doesn't have to be this deeply intricate schedule or, you know, something that's official or whatnot. You know, simply even a scrap paper that you grab and just write out your day. It works just as long as you have something to look at as a visual reminder that you have to be intentional with your time. You have to make time for school.
You know, how does it work when you feel like you're the only one out there on that class and that, you know, there are tons of students logged in, but you really don't have a personal connection to maybe anyone? How do you start feeling connected to that community in that class?
That's so hard. And that definitely is one thing that a lot of our online college students face. The biggest thing is networking. If it's an institution that has Blackboard or discussion boards, hop on those discussion boards to find other people that are working in a course. If it's an institution that doesn't do that, there's Facebook groups for a lot of different colleges. LinkedIn, look for groups related to your college. There's ways to network through social media or just through resources from the institution, but absolutely networking, just even simply making a post or reaching out and saying, hey, I'm working in these courses. This is my major, something like that. And people will respond. absolutely, networking is key in an online learning environment.
And what about developing a relationship with your teacher, your professor? And because oftentimes, like that, all that in person really helped with office hours and having more of that one-on-one. How do you establish that in the virtual realm?
I would encourage students to reach out and even just send an email to introduce themselves to their professor or their course instructor. Just simply introducing who they are, what their major is, what course they're taking from that person, and even introducing or sharing what type of learner they are, because it's important for them to develop that relationship. And they may have online office hours or a line to for the student to call, but simply just reaching out and introducing yourself early in the course is a great way to start building that relationship, so that when you do need support and have questions, it's already built, so that you're a little bit more comfortable to give them a call or send another email, you know, kind of with an SOS, I need some help on this course material.
And then that professor kind of has a little bit of knowledge about this student other than, you know, just like that face on the screen.
Absolutely.
We're discussing what happens when college classes go virtual with Jamie Steimel at Western Governors University. How do you feel about recorded video lectures? Do you feel your professor has clear expectations for how the information will be conveyed and what you must do to succeed? What keeps you motivated and on track in this online coursework? Still time to talk about it. 800-642-1234. Conversation right here at 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up with online learning with Jamie Steimel. News update is next. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. We're discussing virtual learning for college students who had expected face-to-face classes this fall as the semester progresses and the whole online model exposes different teaching and learning methods. And we ask, how do you succeed if you're a student who is new to online courses? What are the expectations in the space? Join in with your questions, your tips for online college coursework, 800-642-1234. Conversation right here, 800-642-1234. Jamie Steimel is our guide, a mentor at Western Governors University, and she stays with us. So, Jamie, I want to talk about professors here for a moment and the lecturers, the people who are on the other end of these courses. What type of commitment should teachers have in trying to deliver their content online?
I think in our current climate and going online, that our professors and course instructors really, you know, they're going to continue doing what they've always done. They're just shifting it to an online platform. And so the biggest thing that is most beneficial for learners, especially who are now working online independently, would be to offer their content and instruction in multiple ways. So if there's a textbook, obviously that's always available, but record videos of lectures or videos of just talking through certain topics. Some interactive learning activities are also very helpful for a lot of learners. But I think the most important thing for all professors and course instructors to be doing right now for our learners is to be available, whether it's they set up, you know, virtual meeting rooms or phone numbers, but just be available for the students, because sometimes they may struggle through the content, but sometimes they just may need encouragement. It's hard being online.
And some professors have flipped their courses where they're putting their lectures, taping them, and then making the synchronous time, the time when everyone's joining in at the same time, making that more for discussions or projects. What do you think of that model?
I think that's absolutely appropriate right now. And I think that is appealing to the needs of the learners. That absolutely is the best way to go.
So, you know, as you look at so many students now, millions of students online and trying to do this, what role does our mental health play in our success as online learners?
You know, that's a great question, and I think that's something that a lot of institutions and individuals alike forget about. Right now, mental health is huge, and it is something to consider because as people, we are naturally social beings. So shifting from being on a campus, in classrooms, in those social settings, to online classrooms, there is a piece that's missing. And so, absolutely, I think we need to encourage our students to be more self-aware that if you are starting to feel frustrated, take a break from your learning. Get up, walk around for 5 minutes, get back to it. If you are finding you're missing that social interaction, again, that networking, those synchronous sessions where you're in face-to-face with other classmates, absolutely, I think mental health is huge, and we do need to consider that with our online situation.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Jamie Steimel, who's a mentor at Western Governors University, which offers online degrees. We're getting tips on how to succeed when your in-person classes are now all online. Jamie, over the years that you have been associated with online learning, have you seen these online courses change at all in the way they're delivered or how receptive students are to this online space?
You know, that's a great question. And I think, you know, with Western Governors University, we are always growing and changing. And so our classes have, you know, our individual courses at WGU have changed and developed based upon student need to offer both synchronous and asynchronous options. But overall, as a nation, looking at a whole at higher ed institutions, I really think the last 9 months have forced us to change and really develop dynamic online learning platforms because we have to. A lot of online courses in the past have just kind of been reading textbooks, writing in discussion boards, just, you know, very simplistic, sometimes very challenging because of the simplicity. And now there's so many different learning platforms for students to record videos of themselves talking about content and different interactive simulations. And definitely, I think the online face has changed, you know, overall, just as technology develops, but especially in the last 6 to 9 months, we've been forced to really increase the engagement and rigor of those platforms.
I want to ask you about the students here because, you know, we've seen students around the country be pretty angry about their tuition dollars that they had signed up for online course or for, you know, face-to-face learning on their campuses, and now they're all forced online and they feel like, you know, that tuition isn't as valuable, though that their education isn't as valuable as the tuition they're paying. What do you make of that argument?
You know, I think it's hard. Students are frustrated, people are frustrated in general, and they want some place to point a finger and to blame. But the reality is you can't put a dollar amount on a good education. And so if you are, whether you're in online or in person, you're still paying for that high quality education. And the professors and course instructors and university boards are all working hard to deliver that high quality education to the students. And so I think I would just encourage them to look past that of it's not so much about what you're paying for. You, or I'm sorry, it's not so much of like where you're paying for your dollars, you're
Yeah.
simply paying for that education.
All right. So let's look at motivation here for a moment. And, you know, I like to have little carrots in front of me or little things that will entice me to, you know, kind of keep going on that to-do list. What are some little enticements that you put out there for yourself to keep you motivated, to keep you going to that next task?
You know, I would encourage all students just to find something that they want to do. And it's hard because we're in a pandemic. So, you know, the typical meet up with a friend for dinner, go have a drink with a friend, or things like that, they can't necessarily do. But it's almost like you're bargaining with yourself of, you know, do your homework and then watch another episode of that favorite show you're binging right now. Or, you know, just do one more module, read one more chapter, and then have that favorite piece of cake. Whatever it is that you want to do, just kind of to keep going.
Jamie, you know, what, when you look into your crystal ball and we're on the other side of this, do you think, you know, our views about online education have changed so much that it will be the thing that changes how we deliver education?
I sure hope so. I can tell you, I've been with WGU almost 6 years, and we deliver a high quality, rigorous education. And I think a lot of brick and mortar traditional institutions are being forced to explore and develop the same. And why not? It's flexible. I mean, online education really opens up access of education to such a broader population than having to go to class at a certain time of the week, certain, you know, days of the week. Online education really can transform our nation in being able to earn college degrees and just do better for themselves and for their families and ultimately for our economy.
One caveat, though, is that internet access, and that you really need that high-speed internet to be able to function in this online environment. And we know that even in areas of Wisconsin, connectivity is just not there. You see people driving for miles to get to the nearest library parking lot. You know, is that a barrier to where we're headed in online education?
You know, it absolutely could be a barrier. It definitely could. But I know that there are a lot of institutions and a lot of cable and internet companies that are starting to look at alternative options so that it isn't a barrier.
One other thing I want to talk to you is about the nuts and bolts of technology and whether, you know, should you splurge on a laptop? Should you find that old desktop computer? What are some of your tips with the technology?
You know, it doesn't really matter what type of computer you have as long as it's reliable and has enough memory. And there are so many places that offer refurbished computers that if finances are an issue, you can still get a Chromebook or you can get a refurbished laptop. You know, even those old desktops, there's still merit in them for people to access. And the other thing, too, is that obviously, thinking on the other side of the pandemic, a lot of public libraries and places do have computers that can be used that if it works for your schedule, that's an option too, you know, if push comes to shove.
Right. So you can always, you know, try to find if you can't or if your internet is down, that there could be that public space in the library that will be able to, you know, help you out if you're trying to get in under deadline. And, you know, are deadlines
Absolutely.
As rigid in the online realm as they are in the in-person realm?
You know, it just depends on the institution. Mm-hmm. Many at Western Governors University specifically, our students have a 6-month term and they set their deadlines. So they work with a program mentor to say, I'd like to finish this course or this task by this day. Overall, though, there are still deadlines, but they are flexible. You know, at least right now, we are trying to give grace wherever we can to our students, understanding that there's a lot going on. And sometimes they might miss that deadline or that due date. But absolutely, there's flexibility.
Jamie, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Jamie Steimel is a mentor at the online college Western Governors University. This is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.